My next guest spends much of his time litigating on behalf of investors who have been harmed by the misconduct of stockbrokers, investment advisors, insurance agents, and others in the financial services industry. So when I read a piece written by him entitled, "Everything I Know About Investing I Learned in Court," it got me thinking, what is the investment view from a person who specializes in prosecuting fraud in this industry? And to that effect, I want to welcome Robert Port. He is partner with the Atlanta law firm of Gaslowitz Frankel LLC. And he's written this article, numbers of lessons that he's learned by watching all of these individuals go through the court system or the arbitration system. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
So number one, lesson number one, and I was surprised that this would be the first one, but Wall Street does not have a crystal ball. What do you see when you're out there litigating?
Well, what I see often is that folks are very attracted to people who claim to have the expertise to say, this is going up, this is going down, buy this, sell this. And I think, you know, for me, understanding that no one can predict the future was in an odd way something that's very obvious, but at the same time, it was essentially an epiphany when it came to investing.
Yeah.
You know, the probability of predicting the future is very slight. I guess in pure statistical terms, you maybe have a 50-50 chance of getting it right, and probably even less. So if you spin that out further when you talk about investing, what that led me to conclude was that it is a bit of a fool's errand to rely on any one person who claims they know what the future is going to hold. Sometimes they get it right,
yeah,
and it's more by accident and luck than skill.
So simply, if you know that the future is unpredictable, and therefore predicting the future of the stock market is unpredictable, you know, there's this old, it's kind of a terrible story, but I remember being passed around the brokerage industry when I was in it. And that was, let's say, if you tell your clients, hey, this thing is going up, and you tell 50% of the other 50% that this thing is going down. So it's going to go in one of those two directions. And whatever direction it goes in, those people are going to think you're pretty smart. And the 50% people are going to go away. So then you got the remaining 50%. You tell 50% of those things are going up, something's going down. And half of those people are going to get it right. And the other half are going to go away. So now you've got this subset of people who think you're really, really smart. You do it one more time, and then those people that are left think you are a genius. And then I guess those are the people where you end up, they end up in court being sued because nobody knows anything about the future. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that example because I have actually heard of scams that are perpetrated exactly that way. They will start with, you know, 500 people. And they'll send them a mailer that, you know, we predict this is going to happen. And as you say, 50% of the time they may be right. And then they'll send it to the next 250 people and say, well, we got it right last time. Let's try this. And so on and so forth. And they convince, you know, the last remaining subset to send them money.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, it disappears.
Right. Yeah. So again, that's such an interesting point. You know, scammers come up with all these kinds of strategies, and we tend to be believing people. When information is put before our eyes, we don't really look beneath the surface very often. Here's another one. Lesson number five, I have to skip around for time purposes, is be leery of investment products. Wall Street loves to sell limited partnerships and real estate investments and annuities and things like that. What have you seen in your travels there?
Well, most of the time, and again, given what I do, when I hear the word investment product, my antenna goes way up, because generally what these are fairly complicated investment strategies, or sometimes called vehicles, that Wall Street firms with their MBAs and analysts have put together that are often, just because of the number of people and experts who need to put this together, are loaded up with fees. And candidly, many of the folks who sell this stuff on the brokerage side, when it eventually gets down to the retail broker offering it to his retail customer, the broker often doesn't understand it. All they've got is a page or two of the sales points they should make. Mm-hmm. And rest assured, very few of the actual customers understand it. And it's a fairly simple, and I might be accused of simplistic approach, but my view is that if it takes, you know, 40, 50 pages of dense legalese to explain what you're investing in, it's probably not a good idea to invest in it. And more simplistically, if you can't explain to a child who's maybe in junior high why it is you made that investment, you probably ought not to. You ought to be able to explain your investment very quickly and succinctly to somebody.
So many people listening to this show don't have advisors, or they may use, you know, someone, and they really can't tell what the quality is or the truth-telling is of these advisors. From your experience, first of all, do you think that people need advisors? Do you think advisors serve an important role in people's financial well-being?
I very much do. I originally came to this suspicious of sort of all advisors, not necessarily because everyone's illegitimate or a crook or doing not only crooked things but inappropriate things, but I'm very sensitive to the drag that fees over long periods of time can do to wreak havoc on investments. But I've come to conclude that an advisor who charges an appropriate fee, and I'm very partial to folks like you who do a fee-only type of structure, not commission-based, I've concluded that I view that fee as almost an insurance premium. I use an advisor myself. I think I can do it myself, but I know I shouldn't. And I view the fee I pay my advisor as my insurance premium to keep me away from my money. Because I have concluded, or maybe just rationalized, that I can, trying to do it on myself, suffer not necessarily losses, but lack of return that would likely far exceed what I'm going to pay an advisor. So I think for people with any meaningful amount of money, and that's a relative term, it is well worth it to consider using an advisor, again, who is sensitive to the fees and costs incurred in providing their services. But I almost always think it is a good idea.
You know, I took a chance asking that question.
I know.
I didn't know how you were going to answer that. But, you know, there have been many studies that I was looking at one the other day that from 1996 to 2015, the S&P 500 is up over 8% compounded annually, but the average investor has only made about 2%. And I think that that really goes to what you're saying is that, you know, if you're doing it yourself, you're subject to emotion, you're not really a professional in at it, you're not doing it every day, you get caught up in other things, maybe you forgot to sell something or you really didn't research it properly when you bought, et cetera, et cetera. So then the question comes to, so you got the good guys, I guess, to be oversimplifying, and the bad guys here, and we're trying to figure out, you know, how to not get a bad guy. And so we've talked about people who predict the future and sell something based on that. We've talked about people who sell investment products and you know they make commissions. A lot of times those commissions are hidden. You don't even know what they're making. It's kind of built into it and it's buried in it. Lesson number four, and I'm not sure that this has to do with advisors themselves, but this idea of don't chase winners. What does that mean?
Well, as anyone who looks at anything involving investing, even things such as, you know, Money Magazine or lots of other publications, you will see ads that will say, you know, top mutual fund for the last number of years, or people touting, you know, last year I returned to my clients X percent on their investments.
Right.
And it's very attractive and appealing to think, well, this person must know what they're doing. This firm must know what they're doing. I will go there. But I think what I have learned looking at, I guess, some of the more academic literature here is that investment returns over the long term revert to the mean. I guess they revert to the average. So, yes, sometimes some folks will get far above average.
Right.
But the probability that any one person or firm will stay above average for long periods of time is very, very slim.
Yeah.
And what I often hear when I say that is, well, people say, well, you know, Warren Buffett has done great all these years.
Exactly.
And that's true. He's like, I could be a Warren Buffett groupie. But the reality is, statistically, he's an expected result, but he's a very, very rare result. And what I often say in response to that is, fine, what's the probability that you or me or anyone can choose who is going to be viewed as Warren Buffett 20 years from now?
Right.
Of the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of advisors out there, what is your assurance that you will find the man or woman who is going to get it right consistently year after year after year after year? The probability is essentially zero. So what I have concluded is that you should hit, as they say in baseball, I think in baseball, hit for the average, swing for the averages. Mm-hmm. Don't swing for the fences all the time.
Yeah.
Don't be enamored by, who's ever hot at the moment.
Right.
Because just like, someone who's always swinging for the fences, you're going to strike out a lot. And that's fine in baseball, but not fine with your hard-earned investment money.
My guest is Robert Port. He's a partner with the Atlanta law firm Gaslowitz & Frankel. And he's written this article about everything I know about investing I learned in court. And you've heard a few of the items listed. To find out more about this and actually to see the article, go to stevepomerantz.com. We'll put a link up there for you and we'll put it out on all the other social media as well. Robert Port, thank you so much for joining me today.
I enjoyed it, Steve. Thank you for having me.